making the most of every opportunity. Some translations say redeeming the time. We need to redeem the time God has given us. And whether that time be little or a lot, how we fill that time, what we do with the time that God has blessed us with, makes all the difference in whether or not we will have a life that is impactful, whether or not we will have a positive, godly influence in this world, or whether or not our lives will flounder. So here's where I want to start, because a lot of us, it's New Year's Day, a lot of us are making New Year's resolutions. And I'm all for that. New Year's resolutions are great, wonderful, so long as they're anchored down, because New Year's resolutions can and oftentimes tend to be fairly superficial, and many times they're born out of this need for, you just know things aren't quite right. Things need to get better. Things need to improve. And so I need to set some goals. I need to do things differently. So, but I really even step back and start out with some questions, because here's my premise this morning. If we're just up here on the surface, or even a little bit above the surface, trying to do some goal setting, some resolutions, but really the foundation, at the foundation level, things are not settled, things are not set, things are not concrete, things are not right, then a lot of the goal setting will be superficial at best and misguided at worst. So a lot of us, we need to get down to the ground level, even root level, and lay a solid foundation, then start doing the work as the layers continue. So, first question is just, are you living into your God-ordained identity? Are you living into your God-ordained identity? Do you know what God has called you to do? What He has created you to do? Ephesians 2:10 says, "For you are God's workmanship, crafted in Christ Jesus to do good works, which He's prepared in advance for you to do." And literally the term workmanship, you are God's masterpiece, it could be translated. Who, me? Masterpiece? Hardly. See, that's where, if we don't have the right understanding of who God is and who I am in Christ, our self-esteem, our self-image can literally be in the gutter, and then where do we go from there? If our foundation right then and there is so off that we so belittle ourselves, where then do we go from there in establishing our life's pursuits? Our foundation is wrong then. Here's another way of asking the question. Is there integrity in your life, in the various aspects of your life? So integrity, are things integrated, are things balanced? Or are things just chaotic, out of control, out of hand, unmanageable? If there was a spectrum, like this arc, a spectrum, all right? And on one side of the spectrum, it would be a life where you're just floundering, languoring, struggling. On the other side of the arc is a life that's flourishing. That's just vibrant. Somebody who just is living passionately into their giftedness from their God-given identity. So if that's the arc, and it's a spectrum, and down here is 1, you're floundering, and over here is 10, you're flourishing, where are you at in that spectrum? 2, 3, 8, or 9. Where are you at? How satisfied are you in life, with your life, with the direction of your life. Right. So let's go deeper than goal than just resolutions and goal setting. Let's start down at the foundation. I could go hours on this sermon. In fact, my difficulty this morning is probably going to be finishing in a reasonable amount of time. Fair warning here, all right? I'll try. I've been actually going through a process in a mentoring relationship with Steve Haynes. He's a vice president of Navigators International. Wonderful man of God. We've been spending the last year and a half going through a program that he wrote and developed called Building a Life of Significance. And we're not even done yet, and it's been a year and a half into this. It's been wonderful. Phone conversations and sometimes face-to-face conversations, 2-3 times a month. So there's been a lot going on in my life, in my heart, and so all of a sudden when I was thinking about New Year's resolutions and got the idea for the sermon, oh, I could put so much into this. But when I tried to boil it down, you can see in your sermon notes, the idea of establishing a strong foundation. So there's kind of this pyramid there. But down at the bottom, it starts with my personal relationship with God and Christ. He's not off there in the corner. He is the cornerstone in my relationship with God. Because if that isn't established, if my personal relationship with God is not the foundation, the rest of my life, the trajectory of my life, is going to be kind of weak and wimpy at best and outright perverse and wrong at worst. And Jesus put this quite clearly when he said, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you." He said that in the context, too, of all these things that we can be anxious about. And in the midst of all of our anxieties, anybody with me, anxieties just kind of weighing you down, Jesus said, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all the rest falls into place." I mean, the rest of the life just seems to fall into place when that is my cornerstone and I am determined that I will seek first priority in everything, God's righteousness and his kingdom. And then he also said, first thing, elemental, Jesus said, love the Lord. Love the Lord, but passionately, with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, all your soul. Love the Lord. That's foundational. And if that's not happening effectually, I mean really, the trajectory of life just is off. It's not right. Jesus had a parable, and he described it as the person either building a house on sand or building a house on a rock. Easy to understand, especially for those of us in construction. You know, and Jesus said, if you'll take my teachings and put them into practice, it's like the person who builds their house on a rock. And he said, I mean, the rains can come down, the flood waters can rise, the wind can blow and beat against that house, and that house is going to stand strong. Your life is going to be just fine. It's going to weather any storm that comes. But you don't follow and take his words and put them into practice. That's like the person building their house on sand. And he said, I mean, when the rain came down, when the flood waters rose, when the wind came and beat against that house, it fell and great was the disaster. Which life do you want to have? The kind of life that is just solidly built on a foundation of rock, that rock being Christ, or something else? So that is primary, my personal relationship with God. If that isn't just solid, if I don't have that one down, then anything else is just not going to come out right. So then the next level up, I have spiritual disciplines, because it's those spiritual disciplines that help keep me connected with Christ. If I say I have a personal relationship with God, but I don't even read the Bible, but really times to pray and worship, I'm just kind of, you know, here and there. Well, how strong is that relationship with Jesus Christ? As we develop those spiritual disciplines, we stay connected with Christ. And again, things just fall into place. Things just flourish. Jesus said it this way, John 15:5. He said, I am the vine, like the trunk of the tree. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing, he said. So imagine the trunk of the tree and the branches. If those branches stay connected to the trunk of the tree, then the life-giving sap is flowing through, and then those branches bear much fruit. Jesus said, apart from me, if you separate yourself from me, what happens to the branch when it separates? Will it be fruitful? Absolutely not. Do you want a fruitful life? If you want a life that is fruitful, you got to stay connected to Christ. How do you stay connected? It's getting into his word. And I mean daily. Just studying the scriptures, meditating on them. This is the B-I-B-L-E, the believer's instructions before leaving earth. God has set forth plainly his will for us. As I get into his word, the Holy Spirit literally translates it into my heart, making it applicable exactly for me, for who he's created me to be, so that I can do his will and live it out, and my life becomes impactful, fruitful, and it flows. And then as I pray, as I really stay connected to the Spirit through prayer and through worship, and we're to pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests, the Apostle Paul says. And so it's this constant prayer. My personal relationship with God is first, primary, above all other relationships. And so I spend more time with him than anybody else. But I spend time with him. Are you getting the gist? This takes some work? Absolutely, it does. Pastor, I'm just such a busy person. I mean, this is just unreasonable. Your life. Honestly, it's your life. Are you satisfied with it? Where are you at on the spectrum? Floundering? Thriving? Well, I'm thriving. I've got my own business and, I'm a millionaire. Great. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Are you thriving? What is your trajectory? Where those spiritual disciplines keep us connected to Christ. Out of that personal relationship with Christ, out of the spiritual disciplines, as I'm praying, connecting with the Spirit, as I'm getting into the Word, what is born from that are principles and values. What else do I have there on that next line? Principles and values and priorities. So my principles, my values, and my priorities are nourished. They are born from this relationship with God. And so they are just right in line with God's word. So everything I value and hold dearly, it's all rooted there. And so it's solid. But again, somebody who doesn't have that solid personal relationship with God, and all of a sudden their values, therefore, their priorities can be so skewed that their life is taking a trajectory that's disastrous. I mean, if my value is money, that's what I value. I'm going to make a lot of money. Really, no. Or if your value is a big home, it's to have all these things. Really, if that's what you hold most dear, if your value is sex, and that's really your priority, I mean, really when it's lived out. And when sin can so warp us, I mean, I've seen at the far end of the spectrum, I mean, a disastrous life. When I was working with Emmaus Ministries in the inner city of Chicago, talking to guys who their priority was, out of their addiction, their next fix, they were willing to sell their body to other men in order to get that next fix. That's just sick. It's demented. I don't think anybody here is at that demented of a level, but that's what we risk when we lose connection with Christ, when we don't have a solid relationship with him, when there's no spiritual disciplines, and all of a sudden our values, our priorities can get so warped, our lives can take a very tragic course. That's an extreme, but even if you're not at that extreme, are your priorities and values solid? Are they rooted in God's word? Are they born out of your understanding of God's will for you? If they are, then you're basing your life, you're centering your life on a solid foundation. So you got these priorities and values and principles out of which then comes and flows a vision, a mission. And Bob Beale would say a dream. Bob Beale is a leader, guru, somebody who I've got a lot of his resources. I really esteem this person, so some of what I'm saying this morning, too, I got to give credit where credit's due. Bob Beale has some wonderful things to say, but he talks about a dream. And he says, this is the difference you plan to make before you die. He says, this is going to energize you greatly. If you can know with certainty, the purpose of my life is blank. What is it? Do you know the purpose of your life? Really? I mean, what God has created you to do, what he has called you to do, what he is equipping you to do, what he is, through his Holy Spirit, empowering you to do. Could you imagine living a life that way? You got such a solid relationship with Jesus Christ. You're nurturing it through the spiritual disciplines, the values and principles you have, and all of a sudden God just births this dream, and it's this passion in your heart, and you know, but you know, this is from God. And this is what he's called you to do. And his Holy Spirit is empowering you to do it. Can you not even begin to believe that such a life would develop into a life of great impact, of tremendous influence? Your life would go nuclear. The Holy Spirit in you, the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, that power in you, empowering you to fulfill that which God is calling you to do. I love the way Klein Snodgrass puts it. I've mentioned it before, but he said, okay, God's Spirit is inside of you. As a Christian, don't you think God, therefore, once you've given your life to him, that God wants to do something with your life? And somebody might say, well, Pastor, you just don't understand. I mean, I'm just damaged goods. I mean, the things that I've done, the failures I've had, the sins in my past. And let me tell you, God delights in taking a life like that and redeeming that life, turning that life around, getting his Spirit inside of that heart, inside of that soul, and empowering them to do a turnaround that's just powerful and miraculous, transformational. God loves to do that. That's the business he's in. In fact, that's what I love maybe of the aspects of God. One of my favorite aspects of God is he's the redeemer. He redeems our life. He redeems it from the pit. That's what God will do. And he's done it millions of times before. So don't look backward and get discouraged. Look to God and find your courage to move forward into a life that is just dynamic, miraculous. So you'll have born this dream in your heart. And then, now let's talk about resolutions. Now let's talk about goals and goal setting. But if we talk about goal setting and resolutions, and we haven't done the deeper work, but if you want to talk about goal setting now, and maybe you're at a place where, preach it, Pastor. Yeah, I've got a solid relationship with Christ. I've been reading my Bible, I've been praying, and he's been birthing a dream in me. All right, let's talk goals. And, you know, there's still going to be some merit in goal setting, even if you haven't done that work, but maybe some of the goal setting needs to be, I need to do some of that work. Maybe the first goal, the first resolution here in the new year, January 1st, 2017, is, I got to go deeper with God. One word to describe that, saturation. May that be your goal for some of you. I've been working on that goal for a couple years now. Just saturation. In other words, I just want my spirit to be saturated by God's word and by God's spirit through worship, through prayer, through study of his word, through the various disciplines, spiritual disciplines, that those disciplines might carve out a life of impact. Saturation. Maybe that's a great goal. So here's some advice, and it comes from Bob Beal. When he does goal setting, he comes at it from two different angles. One I describe as the 3x4 angle, the other is the 1x7 angle. I'm not talking about wood size, thickness, and all that kind of stuff. 3x4 angle, okay? And he basically says this, okay, at four different kind of levels of time, he says, just focus on the next 90 days. January, February, March 2017. For the next 90 days, set three goals that will make a 50% difference in the way your year ends. Business person can think, well, here's a goal that, yeah, three goals, that could make a difference. But students, housewives, moms, what three goals could you set in the next 90 days to complete in the next 90 days that would make a significant difference in the way the year ends, in the way you parent your children? See how this works? All right. And don't be flippant about this. Take some time. In fact, I'm going to talk about that here in a minute or two, but take some time. But all right, so 90 days. Now, extend it out for the next three goals. In the next year, in this year, 2017, just three goals, okay? I mean, boil it all down. What three things can I do so that I can really start fulfilling or getting stronger in this vision, in this dream, in the purposes God has for me? What three goals can I have? 1 year, then now three more for 2 years and three more for 5 years. Somebody might think, a young person might be thinking, okay, all of a sudden I got this passion, this vision, this dream, and in the next 5 years, I'm going to complete a master's degree. Might be something like that, right? But again, this is all very personal, very individual, what it might be. So at the end, Bob Beal says you'd have 12 goals, three for 90 days, three for a year, three for 2 years, three for next 5 years. All right. Then he says this. He comes at it from a different angle, and he says there's seven facets of life, seven different areas of life. So I put them there and printed them there in your sermon notes. So the 1x7 goals, these seven areas are family and marriage, financial, personal growth, physical, professional, social, and spiritual. Okay, these are the seven, as he puts, the seven aspects of life. So he encourages us, set one goal for 2017 for every single one of those areas. So your family life, what goal do you need to set? This is what you're going to think about. If I'm to have a better impact, a more positive impact, a more godly impact in my family, one goal. And Bob Beal likes to boil everything down into one word. What would that goal be? All right, so maybe it would be connectedness. I want to have better connectedness with my kids, with my parents. Different people are at different places in life. Some people are married, some people aren't, right? Okay, so for each person, it's individual. So as you go down the list, financial, what would there be one goal for taking a big step further in making a life of impact, building a life of significance, as Steve Haynes would put it? Personal growth, physical, and maybe it is. A lot of people are saying, I want to lose 20 pounds in 2017. Good, God bless you. Great. But then professional, social. If my focus is Christ, how can I have a more profound impact in my social circles? One goal. And then spiritual life. One goal. I already gave you a suggestion. Saturation. But maybe God's going to give you a different focus, a different aspect. And then at the end, in the top box I have, is discipline and grit. Because to be able to really accomplish this is going to take discipline and grit. discipline, and I looked it up, and the definition in the dictionary for discipline was training that corrects, molds, or perfects the mental faculties or moral character. So we get to kind of boil it in. Discipline is I'm training myself to mold and perfect my moral character. That's the purpose of discipline. It's molding my character that it might be more Christ-like. And listen to Paul's words in that context. He says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. That's discipline. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not like fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Do you hear the grit in his language? How do you define grit? The dictionary defined it as firmness of mind or spirit, unyielding courage in the face of hardship or danger. Grit. It takes grit to build a life of significance. It's going to take some time to develop all this. So, coming right from Bob Beal, and this Bob Beal, by the way, he's a guy that he comes in and is the consultant for CEOs and presidents of universities and companies and organizations, and he comes in and he is their consultant. And so when it comes to planning and strategic planning, the kind of stuff that we've been talking about this morning, he says, you got to do this. At least once a year, you got to have a personal retreat, 2 to 3 days. And I can hear some of the moms out there groaning, are you kidding? Well, husbands, now you know how you can bless your wife. Let them get away. I mean, work it out. Carve it out. A 2 to 3 day retreat where you can do this kind of strategic planning, where you can get alone with God, literally, and just start working on these different layers, these different levels, building a solid foundation towards a life of significance. And then he says, once a month, you need a half day retreat. Again, he gets a lot of knee-jerk reaction from that. And then he tells people, okay, if you could spend 2.5% of your time investing in that 2.5% of the time so that the rest of the 97.5% of your time would be more impactful, more significant, wouldn't it be worth it? Yeah. So he says, okay, a half day a month you need to set aside so that you can review your goals. You can work through it. You can refine them. You can get yourself back on track, back in focus. He says focus always precedes success. It's when we don't have that focus, when things are out of focus, life gets out of balance, and we're lacking the integrity, we're lacking the vision, and what happens to the passion and the fire inside? It's waning. But Paul tells us to fan into faith that flame inside of us. Fan into flame that faith inside of us, Paul says. How can we do that? It's just to have a razor-sharp focus. This is who I am in Christ. This is my God-given identity. Foundational. This is what I was praying for the kids. This is what I'm praying for everybody here, myself included, that we would understand our God-given identity. Out of an intimate, personal relationship with Christ. I mean, just the image of just embracing God and God embracing you, understanding at your core, God loves you. Oh, if you don't hear anything else this morning, hear that. God loves you. You are my beloved child in whom I am well pleased, God says. Like one of my mentors said it, you practice saying that to yourself in front of a mirror until you can believe it down to the very core. Every day, practice saying that. Look yourself in the eyes. I am God's beloved child in whom he is well pleased. Until you can believe it down in the core. It starts there, a loving relationship with Christ. Out of that, you have spiritual disciplines where you nurture that relationship. Out of that flows then these priorities and values and principles that you can stand upon, build your life upon. Out of that, God gives you a dream, a mission, a vision, a passion, and it burns inside. You know what God has created you to do, what he's gifted you to do, what he's empowering you to do. You have it in focus. And then out of that, you start developing goals, and you take the time in prayer, and you develop goals and make resolutions. This is how I'm going to accomplish that in life. It stretches out 20 years. This is what I want to accomplish. Your life will become one of significance, of impact. And the things God will do through a life like that can be powerful. I remember hearing a quote, I think it was by Dwight Moody. But in that context, he said, you give me 12 people like that, he said, we could change the world. We could conquer the world for Christ. Absolutely. So this is my hope, my prayer. It's my vision, or part of my vision, my dream, that there would be that kind of a legacy. And as a pastor, that there would be people that would just be lit up on fire to serve God, understand deeply their identity in Christ, and go out and live his calling, empowered by his Spirit. Oh, wouldn't that just rock the world? May we be that kind of a people for Christ. May it be so. In Jesus' name, amen.